You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 492. Randall's joining me as well. Randall, how's it going?
It's going great.
Today, we're going to discuss Notre Dame's matchup, again, a top 25 matchup again, versus number 24, Virginia Tech. You know, you could go one of two ways, Randall. You could say, ooh, this matchup is going to be tougher than what it looks like on paper. Or you could go the other extreme and say, you know, this is probably going to be a game that might come down to a final drive in the fourth quarter. Virginia Tech obviously laid a little mess up when they lost to Old Dominion a few weeks ago. But they are coming off a win over Duke, pretty convincing win. They convincingly defeated Florida State at the beginning of the year. And Florida State's not good, but they did appeared to dominate that game and put up 1,000 points versus William and Mary. So, is this Virginia Tech team, are they dangerous or are they posers? That's what we'll get into and discuss, and clearly you'll know where we're at when we make our score predictions. Brian Kelly did have his press conference earlier today, and Randall, what are some of the topics or things you wanted to hit on regarding that?
Well, as far as injuries, we'll get those out of the way. Alex Barrs is planning to have surgery, I believe, the end of this week. And then he is not traveling to Virginia, but Brian Kelly said for the rest of the year he'll be with the team. He'll be going to the games. And we've seen this before from other players that have been injured. But he will be involved, and they just kind of have to figure out how to, you know, he was a captain and how to deal with that, the workload he had with that, and Sam Mustipher step it up a little bit. But Barrs will still be around to help this team in any way he can. And then Tony Jones, they said it wasn't as bad. His ankle sprain wasn't as bad as they had originally thought it might be, and we'll be back in practice.
Back in practice, but I have no confidence that
he's
going to be... He's probably full go right now, but when it comes to game time, he's going to be limping off the field at some point.
Well, yeah, partially because last year he had a nagging injury and just didn't seem to go away, but I guess we'll have to see. Jafar Armstrong, I guess it was a little bit worse than I had originally thought. I guess he did end up at the hospital at one point last week, but... it looks like he's making a quick recovery, and sounds like he'll be back after the bye week is what they're hoping for. So he won't be playing the next two games. And what else was there? I was thinking there's one more. Well, Drew Tranquil, his hand, but it didn't slow him down the last game, and it shouldn't slow him down again. So
Brian Kelly did make a comment about Khalid Kareem and him enjoying the cheers when he's walking off the field, kind of making a joke about it.
So we did. It was funny because we talked about it at the game. I said, well, I think we talked about it on the last podcast, yeah, too. He's the type of guy that gets banged up, looks like he can barely make it off the field. By the time he gets to the sideline, he's looking okay, and then three plays later, he's hurt, rushing the quarterback. And so that is definitely... that is the type of guy he is, because Brian Kelly said they do joke with him about how he likes to hear the applause when he walks out the field. So, but he is banged up.
Yeah.
And one of these times it could be a lot worse. About the time we get used to it, it's kind of like crying wolf. About the time we get used to it, he's actually going to be hurt. So, the question is, you know, how much do you play him? Now he's kind of banged up. The bye week is coming up, but they should be able to, hopefully they can give him a chance to rest up a little bit.
I agree.
The other things, it was interesting that Brian Kelly said that they haven't talked about Miami since they left.
Yeah.
Which clearly they have. We know they've been doing things in practice to try to change that or be prepared for another atmosphere like Miami, the crazy atmosphere. And he said you'll definitely hear them practice. He said they do have some restrictions as far as the noise and stuff during practice this week, you know, being on campus there, but they will be, you'll know they're practicing.
Are you confident that Notre Dame is, that it's going to be different, that they're prepared for the ruckus atmosphere? And from Virginia Tech's standpoint, I mean, clearly they still have the ACC, you know, title to play for. But if they beat Notre Dame, in their minds, they're still thinking if they would go undefeated, they have a shot at making it to the playoff. So I'm sure the fans are going to be into it. I mean, this is top 10 team, Notre Dame, coming into town, and I'm sure they're going to be amped up and ready for the Irish.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame is definitely prepared for it. They don't want that same, they're not going to let that happen again. A lot of these guys, these are a lot of the same starters you had against Miami, and they're not going to let it happen again, and they want to prove, I think the good thing is they want to prove that they can handle a raucous atmosphere, and it won't affect them.
And Brian Kelly, he's winning. He has, you know, beaten top 10 team. He's beaten Michigan, ranked Michigan at home. He's beating the good teams. His team is beating the good teams. And I'm pretty confident as well that Brian Kelly is going to have this team prepared. And some of it, it's not just Brian Kelly. This is a good, they have a lot of good starters, yeah, a lot of good players. But I do think this team is going to be able to handle the atmosphere.
And now I lost my train of thought. But, yeah, what I was going to say is Brian Kelly, he's taking blame for that. He was like, I didn't have the team prepared. This year, he's definitely taking any blame. Anything that gets thrown at him or the team, he's taking the blame for not having the team prepared, or, you know, he was caught by surprise is what he's saying. So he's saying all the right things. He doesn't want any of this on the team. And we know they've been practicing for this because of the music and the noise. They've done things to prepare for a loud atmosphere. And then the other thing, just talked about the line, how they'll play with Bars being out. Trevor Rulin will be in there. He didn't mention how Rulin will do good with the calls and the calling out assignments and stuff, because he has practiced as the center, backup center, and so he knows a lot more about making calls and communicating than what a lot of the linemen would, so he has confidence in what he can do there. But, you know, there will be other guys helping out as well, Banks and Lug, and yeah, hopefully no one else gets hurt on that line. So and then also Jalen Elliott, he said that, you know, how he talked about how Jalen Elliott's improved. And he said in one of the team meetings the other day, the defensive meetings, Elliott was actually, he didn't say which three tech, but he said Elliott was actually explained to them how the assignment, how it was supposed to work. And so Elliott, the safety, was explaining what the defensive lineman was supposed to do. And he said he knows this defense inside and out. He knows where everybody should be. And, you know, he said the two mistakes, he didn't say which mistakes there were in the game against Stanford. There were two mistakes that Elliott was trying to correct while the play was happening. Like, he was trying to make the corrections, obviously didn't get it done in time, you know, but he knew what was supposed to happen to correct it and was trying to do that. So he has a very good grasp on the defense, and we haven't heard that about the Notre Dame safeties in a long time.
Nope, and guess what? He'll be back next year. Yeah. He's not one of the guys that's going to be that's graduating and moving on.
So, but other than that, talk a little bit about Dexter Williams and his mom. Dexter's mom did move up here, and she is battling an illness, and she's also helped, I think, part of the move. You know, just helping keep Dexter on track, keep his personal life under control. But Brian Kelly talked about how he had been recruiting Dexter. You know, when they went to their house, there was 15 kids there at the house. I mean, that was like the place. He was like a safe haven for them. And he said that if he has any issues, he calls Dexter's mom and it is corrected immediately. And so Yeah, obviously she's doing a good job and is helping Dexter out this year. So it's good to see her that involved and having that kind of impact on Dexter.
All right, are you ready to talk about this Virginia Tech team?
I think so.
All right. We all know, I mean, they had the embarrassing loss to Old Dominion a few weeks ago, 49-35. But they have had some impressive games. I mean, like I said, Florida State, yeah, Florida State's not great, but they held Florida State to 3 points, scored 24 on them, and then last week against Duke, put up 31 points, held them to 14 points. They're averaging on the season a lot more points than Notre Dame, and you could argue that before the Stanford game, their schedules were, you know, relative. Take away Stanford, you could argue that their schedules are maybe halfway similar. Both teams playing some cupcakes, and then also having, you know, a solid Division I program to play against. They're averaging 38 points, giving up about 21 points, passing for more yards than Notre Dame. They're averaging 275 yards versus Notre Dame's 241. They're rushing for virtually the same 200 yards per game as Notre Dame. They're giving up a lot of yards per game through the air anyway, giving up over 300 yards per game. And I think a big part of that number came against Old Dominion. But they're only allowing 84 yards rushing per game. So this is going to be a good test for the Notre Dame running game. And especially without Alex Barnes, it's going to be a test. And also with the home field advantage that Virginia Tech has, yeah, this is going to be a tough matchup for the Irish.
Yeah, I agree. It was interesting. I already did the interview for the Virginia Tech, so we got a little insight from their side. But I asked him if Old Dominion, Norm Wood was the guy I had an interview with, and we'll be releasing that later. But I asked him, you know, if Old Dominion was just a matter of overlooking the team or if the secondary was that bad, because he talked about the young secondary being bad. And he went back to the young secondary being that bad, not necessarily overlooking it, because Old Dominion is right there, is close to Virginia Tech, and a lot of players from both teams have played against each other, are all from Virginia, and so it wasn't as much of them overlooking them, because it was they're playing against guys that they would have played against in high school and would know each other. So he said the secondary was just that bad, and they've corrected things, but they tried to do different things, and it just the communication, he said, was the big thing. It was just absolutely horrible getting plays onto the field, and then the players communicating on the field. It was just a disaster all around. So they did a lot better against Duke, but we'll see how it turned out against Notre Dame. And I think Notre Dame needs to play fast-paced, up-tempo. The more they do that, I mean, clearly the offense is better when they do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you factor in Virginia Tech's issues communicating, I think it'll have an even bigger impact.
And not everyone was able, I mean, Florida State wasn't able to really take advantage of that weakness versus Virginia Tech. So it is something that Old Dominion was able to exploit, but it's not something that's just automatically going to happen. Notre Dame's going to have to force things, to force the safeties into bad communication by exactly what you said, you know, pushing the tempo of the offense. Pushing the tempo of the offense.
Yeah, they have a very young defense. I mean, they got to replace quite a few NFL players. I think they had 3 NFL picks last year off of their defense. One was a first rounder.
Okay, I was thinking that was just out of the secondary. Was that out of the entire defense?
Oh, I'm not even sure. No, it was just in the secondary.
I think this was just out of the secondary.
And the linebackers are sophomores. It's a very inexperienced, but the defensive line is a little bit different. One comment he had about their defensive tackle, he said, Ricky Walker is his name, he said he was in the backfield all day against Duke, or was it Old Dominion, one of the last few games, and the opposing coach actually said he thought he was one of their running backs, he was in the backfield so much. So that is going to be a very interesting matchup, because Alex Barr's being out, and this offensive line having to figure out how to keep going without him, they're going to have their hands full with him. And so he can disrupt the line. He can do a lot of damage against, you know, a good offensive line. And Notre Dame's going to be trying to figure out a few things to go forward. So that is definitely something to watch. And, they do have their defensive ends. Well, they have had a lot of bad luck, Virginia Tech. And we like to think that Notre Dame's the only team that is willing to suspend players that they need. But Virginia Tech did suspend their best pass rusher, Trayvon Hill. And he had, the first three games, he had 3.5 sacks. And they did suspend him, kicked him off the team, basically. But he's had a lot of just small things come up, and it was his final chance. And they didn't say exactly what it was, but probably the same idea as Dexter, but he's done it quite a few more times than Dexter, and it was the final. He had enough chances, and they kicked him off the team. So they were willing to do that, even though it looked like they were going to have a very good year and needed him. So the defense, it'll be interesting because I think they will be able to get some pressure on Book, but then they have a weak secondary, so we'll have to see. They might have to throw a little bit deeper than that. Wake Forest was basically passes behind the line of scrimmage. Stanford was more like the intermediate throws. Now they might have to go a little bit further this week.
But will they have time to go further?
That's a good question. So
will the pass rush get to Ian? Can Ian throw further than 20 yards downfield? Those are the questions to ponder. Serious question, though, Randall. Sometimes the question is asked, you know, which of these teams, all things being equal, which of these teams is better? I think everyone would say Notre Dame is the better team. They do have, you know, the home field disadvantage. But let's say late Saturday night, if Virginia Tech wins this game, how did they win this game?
If Virginia Tech?
Yeah.
They're like, able to get...
Finish the statement. Virginia Tech defeated the Irish because...
They were able to get to the quarterback for record 4 sacks. I guess you wouldn't say record, but they were able to get pressure on the quarterback and not giving enough time to get rid of the ball.
That's where I was going to go, too. And I was going to say forcing turnovers, forcing interceptions, because, which is going to be tough for them to do because their secondary is not good. Yeah. But I do think that Notre Dame is going to struggle to run the ball against Virginia Tech, especially because it's going to be tough to change the play. I mean, we know how difficult it is even at Notre Dame Stadium when the crowd's into it and there's a lot of noise going on. It's tough to change the play because communication is more difficult with loud crowd noise. So I do think that their rush defense is good anyway. And then just with added the amount of excitement that's going to be around this game at night, it's going to be tough for the Irish to run the ball. So I agree. It's going to be tough for the Irish to run the ball, but they should be able to pass the ball successfully. However, if Virginia Tech is able to get to Ian Book, intercept the ball a few times, then I do think Virginia Tech could defeat the Irish.
Well, I think this is more of a game where you'll see no gain or big gain. Because if they can get past that defensive line, if they can break through there and get into the second level, it'll be a big gain. They do give up some big gains. They have given up big yards, big plays. So I think you'll see more of that, you know, short gains or long. None of those intermediate, really. I think you'll see more of the no gains than a big gain.
And as aggressive as Virginia Tech is, this is probably a game where Notre Dame will have some screenplays blown up for loss, but then possibly maybe hit some big ones.
It's hard to tell with the screenplay because
we didn't see it against Stanford.
Yeah, but I'm saying the defensive line, you don't have the defensive linemen out there making those plays to blow those up. That would be your linebacker.
It is more linebackers probably.
So I think that could still work. It's more that defensive line getting the pressure. They need to get it outside, basically.
All right, I'm ready to make my score prediction and my thoughts on the game.
One more thing I'll throw out. They are, obviously, Josh Jackson got hurt, broken leg. And so Ryan Willis, the backup quarterback, came in, played last week, played very good. And at first thing, oh, you know, he's getting his first start. But he actually transferred to Virginia Tech from Kansas. And he played two seasons out in Kansas. In 2015, he played in 10 games as a freshman.
If you play at Kansas, they should really only take away half your eligibility. So if you played 2 years, you should only have given up 1 year of eligibility.
Yeah, he passed for 1,700 yards, 8 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. And then in 2016, he played in 6 games, passed for 811 yards, 3 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So it's not like he doesn't have experience. He has played in games. And so this isn't his first start. Kind of hoped it would have been the freshman making his first start. But no, he has played at Kansas. Whether you think Kansas is a high school team or a college team, that's up to you. But he has experience, and he played really good against Duke. So I think he'll play better than a lot of people are expecting on Saturday.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Notre Dame is favored by 6 points in this game, which is about what I expected, what they should be favored. They should defeat Virginia Tech by at least 6 points. Like I mentioned, I do think home field advantage for Virginia Tech could be a big factor, especially if this game is close going into the fourth quarter. Definitely, it's a factor, and I don't want, I'm going to be worried if that's the case. This team has proven they can win in the fourth quarter against bad opponents, but can they win against good opponents in the fourth quarter? But I don't think it's going to go that far. The rushing attack is going to be tough, and I think they are going to struggle. However, we've seen what Chip Kelly can, not Chip Kelly, Chip Long, his creative play calling.
Careful, let's not jinx him.
Creative play calling, leaving guys wide open versus Stanford. Even against the Michigan game, he had some really, really great play designs and play calls. This defense is good in places, but weak in spots too, like we discussed. And I think Chip Long is going to be able to outsmart and to catch Virginia Tech in just some bad defense. There's going to be guys running wide open a couple times, and Ian Book has been hitting those guys even when they're covered. So, and he's definitely been hitting the guys that are open. So I'm pretty optimistic about the passing game having success. There is definitely added pressure, you know, without Alex Barrs there and the environment like we talked about. But I do think Notre Dame's going to make enough plays in the passing game. I hope that Miles Boykin can continue to prove me wrong and have more than one catch in a consecutive game. That would be great. In fact, I'll go so far as to say if he has consecutive catches that the Irish will win. No, I expect them to win regardless. But hopefully he can put together two consecutive games where he touches the ball more than once. Anyway, the final score for this one is not going to be that close. 33-21.
Okay. One thing that was also mentioned in the preview is that Bud Foster, the defensive coordinator, struggles against running quarterbacks. Or that's been his Achilles heel. As good of defenses he's had in the past, he struggled with mobile running quarterbacks. So, do you think Wimbush will play? Okay. Never mind, we won't go into that. But that was the first thing I thought of. Oh, okay. No, I think Notre Dame, you know, the environment is a big issue. I think Notre Dame has overcome that and is out to prove that they can win in a hostile environment. And so I think that's definitely Notre Dame's favor. And Virginia Tech, with the quarterback being out, they're still figuring all that. Even though he had a good game last week, they're still figuring things out, and he'll have a tough time against this Notre Dame defense. And I think Notre Dame's offense will be able to move the ball. This is not a Virginia Tech defense.
And you think they'll be able to move it on the ground too, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm not nearly as optimistic about the running game.
Yes, they don't have Jafar Armstrong. Tony Jones is banged up. But Dexter, so that's the one thing that could hold. It's the thing that'll hold them back is more Notre Dame's.
Their injuries?
Possible injuries and issues. We don't know how healthy Tony Jones will be. That's the one thing that could hold them back. It won't be the Virginia Tech's defense.
Yeah, but I'm factoring in the offensive line, too.
I know.
Catching up a little bit.
Well,
Randall, it is a factor. If you can't go to the line and make a switch, make an adjustment, it does handicap you.
Well, I did factor that into my score prediction. All right. So I think they'll be able to pass the ball. I mean, we've seen what
Old Dominion. Book
has been able to pass the ball, and I think you'll have another successful game passing the ball against his secondary. And I would have said I took a touchdown off Notre Dame's score because of the offensive line and the running back health. So I took a touchdown off of the score. But I still think Notre Dame's going to win 34-16.
Hold it. Good grief, Randall.
I think it's they are out to prove everyone wrong in this game. That's why I'm predicting
One thing I was wondering, or one thing I was thinking about about this game is, how badly would Alabama beat Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech? I mean, we saw them a few years ago beat a Florida State team. What was it? Was it 28-3 or was it 33-10 or something around there? And that Florida State team ended up not being that good, although I think they did. I think they lost their starting quarterback maybe in that opening game. But how bad would Alabama defeat Virginia Tech? I mean, is Virginia Tech that much worse than Texas A&M? Probably a little worse, yeah. But are they 10 to 14 points worse? I don't think so.
Well, I don't like... I know what you're saying. I like to look at that and think that matters, like how the teams match up. You know, you want to watch... is Pitt playing... I forget who it is. There's one matchup where both teams are playing Notre Dame, I believe. Anyways...
I think it's... Is it Pitt and Syracuse, maybe?
Yeah, I think maybe. Anyways... I think it's different with Notre Dame. Just like the Ball State, you know, you like to say, oh, the next week Ball State went out and lost big to somebody else. This is, whenever Notre Dame goes somewhere, this is a huge game for them. This is different.
This is not any different than Alabama coming to Virginia Tech.
Okay, Alabama, yes. But what I'm saying is the comparison like that is just different.
I agree with Ball State. Playing if Ball State were playing Pitt, yeah, it'd be different when Notre Dame goes to play Ball State or when Notre Dame goes to play Pitt.
Yeah,
but the reason I asked is because you have. I mean, do you even expect Alabama to beat? Would you expect Alabama to beat Virginia Tech 44-16?
I went 42 and went down to, I guess it was 8 points. I went down to 34-6. Yes, I just think Alabama would have a bigger differential than that.
All right. Well, I just think you're a little optimistic, but
hey, this week it's my turn. So.
All right. Okay. That's our score.
We'll talk about this again next week when I'm sipping my coffee over here, Ruben.
Speaking of coffee, Main Street Roasters is giving away 1 pound of free coffee, fresh roasted in Napanee, Indiana. My favorite coffee shop, Main Street Roasters. And they're giving away a free pound of coffee if you win. So tweet out your score prediction on Saturday. And if you're the closest winner, or if you're the closest person, you will win a pound of free coffee and an Irish Sports Talk mug to drink it out of. And of course, there's so many people trying to win and so few winners because only one person can win per week. So if you can't wait to win, because it might be a few years, go and buy yourself some coffee at mainstreetroasters.com. Where they're crafting community and coffee. What a great tagline. It is delicious coffee. Check them out, mainstreetroasters.com. Follow them on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. They have sales going on. And I just heard, last night, that they're going to be having monthly specials, which you can definitely hear about it if you follow them on social media. Our winner for last week's giveaway was Carl McHenry. And so we'll be sending a coupon code for 1 pound of coffee That will be shipped your way. And also an Irish Sports Talk mug. Randall, anything else before we wrap this up? And I do have one other announcement then.
One more thing to think about. They have a true freshman starting at left tackle. Okay. Going forward, make sure you listen to the preview that we'll release later this week.
I did listen to it, and it was very, very interesting. One last thing. We're moving our host from Blog Talk Radio to the Spreaker platform. Nothing should change. However, if you notice that you're not getting the new episode when it's typically available, just unsubscribe, search for Irish Sports Talk, and then resubscribe, and all your everything should be resolved. Everything should be resolved anyway, but in case there is an issue, just unsubscribe, and then search for the podcast, and then resubscribe. All right, that's all I've got. Thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.